Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Muliwa Gabaza, and for today, we are getting into a conversation around South Africa's telecoms landscape and Africa's telecoms landscape for that matter. Specifically the technology around, one of the biggest operators, probably the continent's biggest player, that is MTN. And we are at MTN's headquarters in Roodepoort, Johannesburg, and we are joined today by Mazen Mbruwe, who is the Chief Technology and Information Officer, so that is CTIO, and he's just going to be giving us some insight into what the company is doing from a technology point of view, from a platform point of view, and some of the things that we should be expecting. Mazen, greetings to you today.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to meet you and as well to share our insights and experience and some of our plans that are driving our focus for the future.
So, where I want to begin is the CTIO role. We see a lot of different roles and different, acronyms in companies. Some people have CIOs, some people have CTOs, some people have CISOs, all of that. When we're talking about technology and information within your portfolio, right, what are you specifically looking after at MTN Group level?
So basically, the role of technology has evolved. And the people who are really enabling the technologies, also responsibility has evolved. In the past, in the 70s, the role of technology people were about running the ERP systems, about running the accounting systems. Now, the role of the, technology community within the businesses goes beyond than just really supporting the IT infrastructure, goes to the level of making sure that the production level, the product developments, the go-to-market plans, go to the extent that can also help the management on how to determine their own next level of investment as well. So it varies, has evolved, and definitely within the telcos, there is a role for the CTIOs, which is combining the responsibilities of IT and network and information securities together. So those are three probably segregated domains, but the more we are progressing in our life and in our technology, those roles are becoming more and more converged. And that's why we prefer to continue putting more focus and energy to develop our technology communities to be a CTIO community.
So for yourself right now, because when it comes to the universe of MTN, there are a lot of, a lot of ways that you could look at, technology and what's considered to be IT, because at the core, a telecoms company is a technology business, right? So for yourself, underneath that, are you looking after the network? Are you looking after the platforms? Are you looking after fiber? Like, what is it exactly, that you look after?
So I'm responsible of the technology, portfolio for the whole MTN Group in all the domains where MTN Group is trying to really play a role. That's start from the network, which is our core business, provide connectivity business, and goes to really to the level of playing an important role to bring a digital and fintech inclusion as well, which is the fintech space, so the technology that related to digital and fintech, up to the level of the technology that require to really help and build the infrastructure, including data centers and energy centers and fibers and many other aspects of the related infrastructure domains as well. And within this context, the information technology, which is probably looked at the cloudification, look at the information security, look at the software engineering, look at the business analytics and the related supporting functions, all those sit within the same umbrella of the technology portfolio that I'm handling at this stage for MTN.
Okay. I think that gives us some good insight into, you know, what's in the universe of MTN that you are specifically looking after. It's quite a key role, especially for a business like this. And what I was hoping to get out of this conversation is for us to, you know, maybe unpack one or two of the big buzzwords and phrases, you know, that are in the technology and telecoms realm. And the first one I wanted to get your thoughts on is 5G, right? We see a lot being said about 5G. We understand that, at least in the South African context, MTN is, you know, one of the players, you know, that is offering 5G, and also in one or two, in a couple of the countries that you guys operate in on the continent. Is 5G, right? Because you are the top technology man at MTN. Is 5G for us as consumers, is it a consumer play, or is it more an industrial type of technology, you know, for mining, industrial applications, maybe fixed wireless, that type of thing? Or is it for me walking on the street with my device, you know, surfing the web? Like, what is the most ideal situation for 5G? How are you guys positioning it and investing into it?
So 5G, as you know, it is evolving technology. Yeah. In the oldest days, and by the way, we are celebrating our 30 years now as an MTN. Mm-hmm. And definitely at the beginning, we started with the 2G technology, has evolved to 2.5, 3G, 3.5, 4, 4G. So now 5G. 5G, I believe that it has a role to change the lives and impact everyone, whether it's a consumer or a business, or it's a government, or it's a public, or it's a private sector. So everybody can benefit from 5G. But within the 5G context, it's super important to understand the mechanics and the benefits of 5G. It's not only about speed, and that's probably comes to everybody's mind. 5G is faster. So that is not really the essence of 5G. 5G benefits sit in two aspects. One, it uses much more effectively the resources that are being enabled to really implement the 5G, and specifically here about the spectrum, which is a huge and national and critical assets. And we need to use it effectively to enable the telecommunication technology. The second thing is about the latency. And that's really what 5G is bringing to the table, much more efficient latency aspects. So that means mission critical activities and transactions, which require super really fast and reduced latency, are now possible to be delivered through 5G. And now within 5G context, there is a consumer aspect, which is really the broadband use cases about evolving 4G experience to have much more faster access to the internet. But the most important, where we really need to focus more and play a role as a telcos, including MTN, is to really foresee what 5G can do to drive and enable the digital transformation agenda for our private and public sectors, including the governments. And here, the role of 5G within the aspect of 5G private networks or 5G advanced. And here, there are specific use cases which we started as an MTN to demonstrate their capabilities that can really play a role in changing and impacting the landscape of the enterprises. And here we can speak about the mining use cases, how we can make the mining industry much more efficient and secure and more productivity. Use cases more about in the logistics space, specifically when we can introduce 5G to transform the smart ports and the airports and the overall transport industry, in the medical sector as well, in the education sector. So in summary, we look at 5G as a transformative technology, has an impact on the consumers, as an evolving technology from 4 to 5G, but as well as enabler of a specific use cases that can transform the role of private and public sector, specifically within the enterprise industry.
Specifically on the consumer space and specifically in the home, do you think 5G, at least from a coverage point of view, whether in South Africa, whatever territories you guys are looking after that you can talk to us about. Have we reached the stage yet where, at least from an MTN point of view, your 5G is competitive with fiber?
Look, I mean, there are two different technologies, okay? And they are also looked at differently in terms of what is really the proposition here. So the fiber provide unlimited, let's say, experience, which really can help to drive specific application, which doesn't need to really be metered in terms of really volumes. Okay, so there's where fiber and FTTH is the best solutions. On the 5G as a technology, which is more on the mobility side. So your FTTH, or let's say your fiber subscription, cannot be mobilized from home to the office, from the office to the village. However, the 5G technology, the mobility aspect of it, enable you to really take your 5G subscription everywhere you go. So that's the clear differentiation. And we look at what is really the benefit of the consumer and how much really they are looking for in terms of resources to really utilize. And we can advise as well on the appropriate technology. The most important, that people need to be connected. Okay. And the most important, they need to be having a quality connectivity. So if you are a huge, let's say, a consumer of data connectivity, then definitely the fiber become as the appropriate solution. And if you are a person that use the data in a mobile, let's say, a mode and fashion, definitely the 5G become the appropriate solution. And sometimes we have to bundle those two technologies together in order to have and provide you the best combination that you can enjoy the access to the technology.
I'm going to ask, I think it's a curiosity for me, but I'm sure it's a question that many people have had. Why is it that if I get, let's say, an MTN SIM card in a fixed wireless context, if I get an MTN SIM card, why is it that I can get an uncapped package on for a SIM card that goes into my router, but I can't get uncapped for a SIM card that goes into my phone?
I think this is very commercial questions, and
of course,
I would probably suggest that you interview our commercial teams in MTN SA. But from a group perspective, we are trying to make sure that whatever capacity that we have built on the ground through our infrastructure are exposed to our customers. And you cannot really have this experience of unlimited experience everywhere you go. Yeah. And where we have seen that there is an extra capacity unutilized, it makes us really much more comfortable to provide probably a better experience or much more probably attractive model. And that's why probably you call it unlimited. But because the mobile business has a huge, let's say, a prerequisite in terms of building capacity and funding requirements, that's why we have to be cautious of making sure that we control the capacity that we are trying to really put on the ground. So the answer to you, where we see there is an opportunity to have unlimited or uncapped, let's say, experience, we try. Yeah. And in other places, we restricted it in order to not affect the user experience. We don't want to really make it open, and then we make the experience of the end user as well impacted. So that's why we need to create that kind of balance between the utilization rate and the availability of the right capacity.
Okay. Now that makes sense when you put it like that. Like I said, it's always been a curiosity on my side, and I know lots of people, wonder about that. But maybe switching gears a little bit on the network side, one of the other big conversations, I said we're going to attack a couple of the, big themes in the sector. We've done 5G. The other one is satellite, right? Satellite has been around for a long time. But obviously in the last couple of years, I would venture to say mainly because of Elon Musk and Starlink, it's a lot more spoken about. Like I said, been there for a long time, but now because of Leo and that type of thing, you know, more and more people are, I guess, talking about it on a consumer level. Strategy from an MTN point of view, how are you guys thinking about satellite? How has your thinking evolved around satellite?
Yeah, it's very important to understand why these days we are hearing more about satellites. Okay, and in fact, this technology is not new. Mm. It has been there 10 years, 10, 20 years, 30 years, and more. So what has changed? That's very important. Why now we are talking more about it? What has changed is the involvement in the technology, which has made the cost of the transport from the ground to the space much more cheaper, because there was some inventions about the reuse of those facilities that takes the equipment to the space. That's why that has led to a reduction in the cost. 1 kg in the past used to cost more than $100,000 to transport, and now probably cost around $1,000. So that's why now it's much more efficient and effectively to really start really enabling the satellite technology. That's as a history, and that's why we're hearing more about it these days. From MTN perspective, we look at the satellite technology as an opportunity. We don't really look at it as a competing technology. We don't look at it as a threat. There is a lot of areas where we can leverage from it, specifically in the areas where we can really expand our connectivity business and our solutions to the rural areas, where areas we cannot really go and extend our traditional networks. So we can really utilize the satellite technology to expand our footprints to the rural areas, yeah, using it as a solution to really back up our backhauling capacity in order to reach the rural and the super rural areas. That's really one example where we are heading into, and we believe we can make some bold steps in that direction.
And when it comes to, I guess, who are some of the providers that maybe you guys use? Because I do understand that, like you said, satellite has been there for a long time, but the economics of sending your own satellites into the sky might be a bit tough. So most telecoms operators have partners in place. Who are some of the operators that, help you guys to deliver on the satellite side?
Look, I mean, in addition to what we see now, there has been a lot of attempts to take the base station that usually hosted on a mast or a tower to put it in the air. So we call it base station in the air. So that's the concept. And I believe that's what probably 40 or 50 years from now, we're going to see that more and more equipment are in the air. Okay. So that's really where we are heading. From MTN perspective, now we are really collaborating with different players. So there is a guise of AST, there is a guise of Link, and as well Starlink and OneWeb. So there are several providers that currently we are exploring opportunities for collaborations. And the aim at the end is to make sure that the identified use cases, including expanding our coverage and reach the poorer and the rural, as a priority for us to leverage from this technology. That's one. Second thing is to see how can we really use the satellite technology to improve our portfolio in terms of reducing the risk and deal with the emergencies. So there are specific use cases where we believe as an MTN we can drive, but in collaboration with those players. And I think we are making very good steps. And fundamentally, there is also another question on the table, whether MTN can go and invest in this kind of technology, yeah, as well. Those are question marks are being already tabled in front of our stakeholders and our board. And I hope we can really take bold decisions in the future as well for the benefit of our customers and our stakeholders.
Does that model exist on satellite? Because with undersea cables, for example, we'll see that, MTN will be invested in a couple of undersea cables. But for satellites, is that something that exists as a model where you can, I guess, co-invest with a number of operators to put satellites in the sky? Or is it still just the domain where you say, you know what, let's just get one player. They send their satellites in the sky and we sort of lease capacity as and when.
So as an MTN, we have positioned the company as a growth, let's say, business. Our focus on how we can really grow the business. And that's why we have segmented our direction at least into three different domains. There is a traditional connectivity business where we are making very good success in South Africa and across the continent, where we are almost number one in all the markets where we are providing those services. And that really will continue. We have a big opportunity to increase the penetration of the mobile access for our customers. Second one is to really ensure that whatever number of people are really connected to our network, also are using the data services, and as well also enabled for fintech services. So that's really the core connectivity business that we are promoting. The second area, which is more about what role we are playing in accelerating the digital and the fintech inclusion in the communities where we are driving over. So the fintech is another domain. And thirdly is the role that we are trying to play to lead the infrastructure. And within the infrastructure space, the role of the submarine as one thing to connect the continent with the rest of the world in a resilient mode and in having the appropriate connectivity across our continents, inter-countries, and between the continent and the rest of the world. And that can help as well to drive some of the aspects of the digital transformations within our footprints. And definitely the other aspect of it, which is really within the infrastructure, is what can we do more in order to really prepare the foundation to really host other players in terms of having space and power to really sit in our data centers and use effectively our data centers so that they can focus on their own core business without worrying about building their own IT environments. And the third element of it, leveraging the AI, let's say, demands and the opportunity of making sure that our data centers are also well equipped and are well prepared to accommodate the GPUs that are needed to run some of the generative AI traffic. So within that context, definitely the satellites can fit within that category, where we are looking at it as another medium for connectivity. And definitely we need to look at it from a business model perspective that can really make sure there is a profitable business case in place that can attract definitely the attention of our, let's say, shareholders who are looking to grow our business and definitely support the investment case.
You mentioned AI just now. Keen to just get your thoughts. It's an investment question because technology investment takes a lot of money. Because of your operation being in 18 countries and you are probably servicing people across many different languages, isn't there an opportunity for yourselves, your team, or someone in this building to maybe leverage all of the data that comes through the network as a way to large language models? People talk about them, but when you see announcements coming out from Google, Microsoft, as well as OpenAI, a lot of language supports tend to be for Western, languages and that type of thing. Because of the countries you serve and probably your data sets and your large customer base, isn't there no an opportunity, to maybe contribute in some way to expand the languages that are, available on some of these platforms, I guess, using what you guys have?
100%. And again, we continue to position MTN as a growth company. And we need to be mindful about every single opportunity where we can play a role, specifically within the context that we have already agreed as an MTN, that we need to lead the delivery of digital solutions for Africa progress. Within that context, the AI becoming a very important opportunity. And definitely we need to really leverage the potential. There is around 3.1 trillion, let's say, USD opportunity by 2032 for the AI. That's globally. And we believe in Africa, there is around 320 billion opportunity by 2030. So within that context, we believe as a major player in Africa, we have an opportunity to drive and definitely leverage this technology in a different directions. And we have already came up with our strategy on AI, and AI now is well embedded as part of our ambition for 2025 and beyond. And we are busy currently quantifying the additional investment that we need to make that can really help to really make the AI as a best, let's say, investment case for the future. And within the AI specifically, we have categorized our focus into five categories. Within the AI, the category number one, we are looking at what can we do in order to increase and improve the productivity internally for our working force. That's the first category of AI use cases has been identified. Yeah. The second category is more about what can AI or how we can use AI to improve customer experience.
Yeah.
And the third category, how we can reduce the cost and become much more efficient. And the fourth category, how can help to increase our financial benefits in terms of additional revenue that can sustain our investment case. And the fifth area, which is more about strategic investment that we need to make. At the end, more and more we see the global players are manufacturing and producing the GPUs. And these GPUs have to be hosted somewhere in some specific locations. And that's why we see an opportunity that we can prepare our data centers to host this kind of GPUs. But for that, we need space and we need to power.
Lots of power.
And for the power, and here is a question, what MTN can do and what do we have in our plans to play within that space on the energy level that can really help to make sure our data centers are well equipped to accommodate the required capacity for the generative AI traffic, in addition to the connectivity and the submarine, let's say, backhauling capacity. So that's really some of the focus areas where we think about AI as an opportunity to grow our business in terms of increasing productivity, in terms of reducing cost, increasing our financial benefits, and improving customer experience, and definitely as strategic investments that helps as well to sustain our business case for the future.
Well, I could go on and, you know, ask Mazen many more things, you know, for the next couple of days, but unfortunately we have run out of time and that's where we end off. It has been a really great discussion, chatting to Mazen around MTN strategy when it comes to technology. We spoke quite a bit about 5G and you were just giving us, you know, a lay of the land around how MTN has positioned, you know, its 5G offering, its 5G infrastructure and its 5G investment. And he says that, you know, at least from a mobility point of view, it's one of the biggest advantages that you get, especially with the speeds and some of the reliability that you get on 5G compared to 4G, 3G and others from back in the day. Also talking quite a bit about, you know, what's going on, you know, in the world of satellite, big conversations. And he was just giving us some insights to say, improvements around latency, improvements around speed and cost are part of the reason why we're seeing more and more conversations now. They have a multi-pronged approach when it comes to satellite, talking to a number of different providers, you know, seeing it from the consumer side, enterprise side, and I guess backhaul, you know, as well in certain cases, particularly around the rural operations, and then ending off talking about the place of artificial intelligence for the telecoms providers such as, you know, MTN. They have come up with a strategy, they are implementing it, and, you know, it's about, you know, how can they help to reduce costs, improve the customer experience, improve probably their network, and then over time improve, I guess, the financial sustainability of a business like MTN. So that's been it to our conversation. Thank you so much to Mazen. He is the Chief Technology and Information Officer for MTN Group. Mazen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, and we're looking forward to have much more conversation in the future. We'll be right back.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.